How Not to Sail, sponsored by Latitudes and Attitudes. They ruined my life, so why not let them ruin yours today? At latsats.com.
You know it's going to be foggy tomorrow, right?
Okay, so maybe I'm not a fast learner. I'm about to cast off for Miami from Gulfport, Florida, near St. Pete.
Remind me why you're doing this again?
Because otherwise there's no story.
I've decided to sail alone around Florida to the Miami Boat Show to launch this podcast and maybe meet some interesting folks along the way. If you haven't already, I highly recommend starting with episode 1. But if you're the impatient type, here's where we are. In the first episode, I spoke to the guy who's largely responsible for my sailing problem. Biker, former bodyguard to Evel Knievel, and 100,000-mile sailor, Bob Bitchin.
The life of being out at sea for days and weeks at a time was so phenomenal that I quit doing drugs.
In episode 2, we met my friend and boat neighbor, Peter Suarez.
Hey.
Yeah, man.
How you doing, man?
And took care of one outstanding item for the podcast, creating a theme song.
Not in mind, bitch.
No, all right.
Actually, what I'm going for is...
I'm still not sure what kind of podcast I'm going to make, but I know it's about cruising, and now we have a theme song. And it's high time I set off. It's already February 4th, and I have 9 days to take the boat 350 miles to Miami to meet the Admiral and make the boat show.
Okay, be careful. Love you.
That's Tanya, but we call her the Admiral. It's a term of endearment. Anyway, as I make some instant coffee to go with the protein bar, I'm thinking about what Peter said yesterday.
You know it's going to be foggy tomorrow, right?
What could possibly go wrong? So my plan today is to head out North Channel at Pasagril into the Gulf of Mexico, then turn left and head south past Egmont Key and continue on past Sarasota to Venice. Egmont Key is an island at the mouth of Tampa Bay that's one of my landmarks. In fact, I made a major discovery there in How Not to Anchor that I made into a little video.
So today have I got a great anchoring technique for you if you don't mind losing the use of one or two of your fingers or being maimed.
I thought it was pretty clever at the time. In fact, I sent it to Bob Bitchin, and that's where this whole Cruising Outpost Latitudes and Attitudes sponsorship ball got rolling. Speaking of which, I might as well take 30 seconds to tell you this story now instead of later.
Smooth season, blue skies.
Bob had a problem. You see, Bob had a magazine. And then Bob ran into some trouble and lost his magazine, Latitudes and Attitudes. But guess what? America's number one boating lifestyle magazine is back again as Latitudes and Attitudes. Check it out today at latsats.com. Yeah, so that's pretty much the story. The cruising magazine that I got into cruising with, Latitudes and Attitudes, transformed into Cruising Outpost after Bob Bitchin got screwed over by a very unscrupulous fellow who shut down their offices and moved to South America. Or something like that. But now they're back as Latitudes and Attitudes, and we are super happy about that. Anyway, I have some coffee and a protein bar in me, and we're finally underway. But as I motor down past Pasagril with the mainsail hanging limp and the wind speed showing zero, it's getting a little foggy.
I can see about 4 markers out the channel here, so that's what kind of visibility we have. Not awesome. Looks like it might be a little foggier outside, of course.
Now, I may have mentioned before, but in addition to crab pots and lightning, my new least favorite thing is fog. The Admiral and I had our first major experience with fog this past New Year's. At Anclote Key, about 40 miles north of where I am now, we ran aground. Okay, I ran aground.
Uh-oh.
And knocked the cutlass bearing loose. Which meant that using the engine was not an option, except in an emergency. Since a 40-mile tow seemed a little excessive, I figured we should sail back at least close to Gulfport before getting the tow of shame. So after hours of tacking back and forth to get back out into the Gulf, during which a helpful but navigationally challenged powerboater pointed out that we were out of the channel, we finally dropped the hook and had a bouncy evening off Three Rooker Island. The next morning, we set sail again, slowly, south. And by mid-morning, we were becalmed just in front of Clearwater Channel, with zero visibility. On a holiday.
Well, it came up suddenly. Everything was visible, and then it wasn't. It looked pretty surreal.
Of course, pretty much by definition, if you have fog, you don't have a lot of wind. Before long, we were slowly spinning in circles, in a complete whiteout. And then the first boat came. We couldn't see it, but we could hear it, and it was close. Before long, it burst into view no more than 50 yards away, heading straight for us. At the last second, it turned and passed within 20 yards of our bow. Of course, I hadn't bought a new air horn because we had this handy safety whistle. So I'd been blasting my lungs out with this long, short pattern that didn't seem to deter anybody. And then came the second boat. When you're completely enveloped in fog, it's like flying blind in an airplane. You even lose your sense of where the horizon is, and your sense of scale. When the second vessel suddenly appeared through the mist, Tanya and I both saw the same thing.
Because of the angle and the thick fog and the way that it was approaching abruptly, it seemed huge, like a huge tanker.
We both thought we were going to die. I leapt from the cabin top to the helm to crank the engine, cutlass bearing be damned. But there's no way I'd get underway before the ship got to us. But as the ship saw us and began a last-minute turn, again no less than 50 yards away, we realized it was just a little trawler, maybe 15 or 20 feet long. My brain should have told me that Clearwater Pass is not a major shipping channel. And yet Tanya and I had seen the exact same thing. Thinking the symmetrical bow of the little trawler 50 yards off was the bow of a supertanker looming stories above us. It was then that I remembered we had a radar, which I rarely use. Of course, by the time I turned it on and started tracking targets, the fog was starting to lift, and the wind came back a little.
This is Jones, Bridge, go ahead.
I got disabled sailboat and tow, SOVS number 5 here. We're going to be looking for an opening. We're on the, just outside that motor yacht.
That's us, right?
Roger, Cap, I see you there. When you get a bit closer, I'll start her up.
By the time we hooked up with our buddy Jason with Towboat US off John's Pass, we'd had about as much adventure as we wanted for that trip.
Roger that, monitoring 9.
And the Admiral never did get to visit Anclote Key. I just hope the fog today won't be that bad.
We're passing marker 7 coming out the channel. The fog is a little more dense now. Probably half mile visibility.
But this isn't the only fog I've been through lately. Ever since our two dogs, Daisy and Ginger, passed away last fall, within a couple of months of each other, I've kind of had this vague sense of being unmoored.
We lost the girls. Things have changed. Life is not as beautiful. So.
I'm not haunted by vivid memories of the girls like Tanya is. That may be due to some kind of memory defect. But I just have this feeling of strangeness. But hopefully this trip will help me and the Admiral a little bit.
This is intro ideas and stuff for the How Not to Sail thing.
Another kind of fog I'm having is with this podcast. I'm still not sure exactly what to do with the interview I recorded with Bob Bitchin, or what the format of the podcast will be. At first, I was thinking about something more like my podcast, The Multimedia Ninja, heavy on the chit-chat and funny sound effects and music. I even played Bob an intro I was planning to use for him, in the style of a certain beer campaign.
He is the publisher of America's number one selling boating lifestyle magazine. His tattoos weigh more than most cruising sailboats. And he is, quite possibly, the main reason for my cruising problem. In his 100,000 sailing miles, he has accumulated more knowledge on how not to sail than you can ever hope to gather. He just finished bench pressing a Harley Davidson and flossing his teeth with a 2,000-year-old redwood tree. Okay, that's all I got, but ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Captain Bob Bitchin.
It was fun, but after we recorded the interview, some other ideas started bouncing around in my head. Before I left, I called my friend Chris G. Parkhurst, who was in Cambodia shooting a documentary.
Oh yeah, nice. Hey man, how's it going? I like the t-shirt. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, I figured I'd wear the documentary life t-shirt.
The long and the short of it is that Chris strongly endorsed my idea of a more story-oriented podcast.
You brought a much more storytelling aspect to your show.
And he reminded me that it doesn't have to spring forth perfectly formed like Athena from the head of Zeus. And I do still have a little more time to let it marinate.
We'll catch you soon.
We'll talk soon, man.
All right, man.
See ya.
Adios.
But back here in North Channel, as I watch a pelican trying to dry his wings on Marker 3, I hear a Coast Guard fog advisory. It's supposed to expire at 10 a.m., but I don't think it's an exact science. I'm just going to turn on the radar and take it slowly.
I see sun.
After clearing the last marker out of North Channel, we just turned left, that's south, into the Gulf of Mexico. And I can see the disk of the sun peeking through a hole in the clouds. And the fog slowly starts to turn into just low clouds. But I can see around me again.
I'm coming out from behind Egmont Key, out the southwest channel now.
So it looks like I'm out of the woods and on my way south. Of course, it won't be long until I need to actually produce something, namely a podcast. But I've already got Bob Bitchin's interview in the can. And I trust in my skills as an audio producer, once I've decided on the style. Heck, I'm even feeling pretty good about my ability to get the boat around to Miami in time, as long as the cutlass bearing holds out. So, I may be in the fog here and there, but I'm moving forward.
I'm afraid the cutlass bearing's coming out again. We're running a little rougher.
Wouldn't you know it? Be sure to join us next episode as I head for the home of the cheeseburger in paradise. And you may be surprised where that is. Big thanks to everyone who's left the nice 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts and elsewhere, and everybody who's jumped on the email list. I couldn't possibly be more grateful. Well, I could be even more grateful if you could just share How Not to Sail with one other person. You could actually help this little flotilla double overnight. And how cool would that be? And feel free to crow about it a little in the episode comments. You deserve it. You can also get in on the Facebook group by just going to hownottosail.com/community. You can also catch me on the Twitters at @HowNotToSail and on Instagram at Bradford Rogers. I sure appreciate you listening, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.